A listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to my hot foil master, Hamish.
That's why I wear these gloves.
Ahoy to me ink mixer, Jack.
Oh, yeah, I do get the colour just right, you always say.
All what right. are we doing?
We are painting baked potatoes.
Oh, I reckon we're hairdressers.
I'm the stencil preparer.
Okay, we've got hot foil, we've got ink, stencil. Are we sign writers? Is it that basic?
Screen printers. We are screen printing.
We're making promotional shirts for Darren's water services.
Not as cool as when we were loggers, I reckon. Nah, that's lumberjacks, good. But it's, you know, we're working through them all.
Three-man screen printing line. We'd have some laughs on our machine, wouldn't we? Yeah. We would definitely make a funny T-shirt for the end of year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Probably more regularly than the end of year. I reckon we'd be once a month.
How soon would it be before we put our own little Easter eggs on people's promotional shirts that they'd ordered? you know, like if we have like our own low, like our own like little
tagging
symbol or something, yeah, we'd just sneak into the bottom of someone's design and then do a lot of, I don't know how that got in there.
If we owned the company, we would. We love the job too much to risk getting fired for something.
That's true. I didn't work that hard to get my hot foil degree to just blow it all by putting a dick and balls on a florist's logo.
Libby, ahoy to you from London.
Ahoy, Hamish and Andy and number 6. Libby here. I'm currently living in London and recently I went travelling through Italy. I know, it must be nice. When I was there, I was watching Lego Masters Australia on TV and it was dubbed in Italian.
See.
I was just wondering, considering Hamish's Italian heritage, if he does his own Italian dubbing. See. Anyway, cheers.
Ham, do you do your own? Yes.
I have family in Italy. I've got nephews that live in Italy and a brother-in-law. They do send over sometimes. They film it off TV. I mean, they film it on their phones off TV because, the Aussie version is in Italy. And the guy that does my dubbing, the Italian dubbing in Lego Masters.
Better voice or worse voice?
A better voice. I'm glad. you were open to being offended if they were like, all right, ciao. Gets a goofball voice on there. Yeah. But the guy thankfully has a better voice, which leads me to believe that they think that my face could support a better voice.
I wonder
it's plausible
what
for the
they
Italians.
Go through there. They go. They would look at you. Do you reckon they just by a sight, or do you reckon they go by hearing?
I wonder. I'd love to know the process.
They probably have a chat. Should we improve this guy's voice, or should we try and keep it the same?
They'd cast it for sure. There would be someone out there, a Luca or someone that had auditioned to be my voice in Lego Masters and didn't get the job because he was probably too similar to my actual voice, and they were like, let's get someone there. Let's. We've got the chance here to improve it. Why wouldn't we take it?
On a scale of Morgan Freeman right back down to zero, how good's your voice in Italian?
If we're on a scale of Morgan Freeman, who we all agree has the best voice, to sort of down to a radio mic at a zero.
I had it in mind as well, yeah.
Just as he outrage outside the glass. I'd probably sit at a 5 professionally, and then they've given me a 6.5 to a 7. Oh, so they haven't gone crazy. No. They haven't given me Morgan Freeman.
Well, your face and body wouldn't be able to handle.
Couldn't support it. I would be crushed under the weight of that voice.
Pushed it to the edge, but still believe it.
It's still shuddering, like all the dials are redlining, but it just holds together.
Hey, you said you wanted to kick off today's show.
Ando, from a voice that's okay to voices that will annoy you, we've had so many upset Andys coming in and they are crackers. Mm. We do have to, I think we've got to start with it.
Everything is neat and practical, because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
The only opener on radio or podcast across the whole broadcast landscape that dares to ask a question in the opener. The whole segment is based on what if it wasn't. Mm. Fascinating concept. Let's see if we can upset Andy. And there's just, I mean, the flood, is seemingly endless. You think they're going to dry up, but there are many opportunities in this world where people notice things that would perhaps upset your preference for efficiency and order.
And you might think that I might change my ways and become more fast and loose. But no, I think in my older age, it's getting worse.
I understand.
So,
I understand. Chris.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Chris-o. Very good, mate. What have you got for Ando?
So I was talking to my buddy the other day who's just got into golf this summer. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of rounds, when it gets a bit too hot, he'll just take his shirt off and play the rest of the game with no shirt on.
As far as I know, that's A-okay. And I haven't played yet, but I'd like to be involved in a sport where that's fine.
That doesn't upset me, Ham. I know you think that you'd mind.
No, I'm interested in the etiquette.
The etiquette sort of got me. Well,
yeah.
I think that it's a bit ridiculous that there's the collars, shirts, and the tuck-in. So some clubs allow t-shirt golf, which
Is tuck-in a thing?
Tuck-in. Some clubs, for instance.
Tuck-in? So I can't wear an untucked polo.
No deduction.
What was going to happen to
a
me?
A number of clubs, you can't wear black socks, for instance. You have to have white socks. And then you just won't be allowed to play. It's weird. It's stupid. Hence, I would love to see someone just going down the 10th without a top on and just having a great time. So I know
Would black socks upset you, Andy, if I turned up with them? Untucked polo and black socks.
I wouldn't
sound like a biker.
It wouldn't upset me. So Royal Melbourne is probably the most famous golf course in Australia, and it's also one of the most famous golf courses in the world. They've recently allowed black socks, but there's an attachment to an asterisk. Black socks, if it's...
Black socks, mankini.
No, if it's in keeping with the shoe that the golfer chooses. So
no Crocs.
I guess they're saying if you're wearing a black shoe, you're allowed black socks. I don't quite understand the rule, but apparently.
All right, yeah. Chris, good one. I mean, I back it, and when I get out there and start swinging the sticks with Ando, I will make sure to do at least a hole topless.
Thanks, Chris.
Mitchell, upset Andy, please.
Ahoy, boys, and number six, and happy birthday to you, Andy.
No need.
So basically, if I'm about to leave my house and I don't already have a pair of shoes on my feet, I usually keep a pair of thongs by the front door. And, you know, as I lead a very busy lifestyle and I'm very much fast and loose like Hamish, on the odd occasion when I go to put my thongs on, the stem of the thong will land in between my second and third toe instead of my first and second toe, as it normally should. And, you know, when this happens, I just carry about wherever I'm going. Toes in the
That's very time for me.
No time, Mitchell. Who's got time to back it? Can't progress in life if you're going to spend the whole time backing up and fixing your feet. Keep walking, brother.
Yeah, good one, Mitchell. No, that would absolutely upset me. And even if I saw it, I don't think I'd be able to hang with you socially until fixed it.
Mitchell, we had a classic upset Andy one time about a guy that liked to go surfing before going to work, and he'd learned to tolerate sand in his socks rather than go to the effort of like washing and drying his feet after a surf. Mm. And I think this is the same thing. You can train your body to just keep moving.
Exactly.
Is your second toe big?
Yes, it is. Bigger than average.
Okay.
Congrats on the SP.
But, you know, eventually you get used to it. And after a couple months, you got multiple.
Oh, mate, you're talking. I get it. I hear you, mate. You get used to them, but still, congrats on the ST.
So I imagine it's an easier adjustment for him to make because his second toe's like a big toe. Like a
backup big toe, you reckon?
Basically, you're right.
Nice, Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Kendall, have you got something to upset Andy?
I do. Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy to you.
Ahoy.
So this is something my mum does that drives me insane. So she's usually the family photographer at events and such. And when she goes back through the photos, she'll zoom in on them and take a screenshot of the photo instead of cropping it or just sending the regular one to us.
Gotcha. This would annoy Andy. So she's got then several of the same photo at various levels of zoom in her camera roll.
She's easily doubled her camera roll. And it also has like the share or delete button at the bottom. It has the time and the battery percentage at the top.
No.
It's bad.
No.
Andy's gasping for it.
Even if I'm screenshotting a ticket to give to Hamish or Jack, I'll crop it nicely. And the other thing that...
Anything involving edges or corners, if it's not done correctly, consider it upsetting Andy.
And the other thing that worries me about your mum's phone...
Yes, we're all worried.
...is I don't like excess photos in there. And so...
Storage.
Not just so much for storage. I just want it to be a clean representation of what I've been up to. So I will... go back through.
So you don't like a short event having 9 photos and a long event having 1.
I'll go back through and clean out unnecessary photos once every 2 days.
Thrilling.
Yeah. So like in memories, you know, memories come up.
Yeah.
I'm never getting a bad one.
You don't get an odd memory. Yeah, no. They're all absolute keepers.
Yeah.
With an even weighting and a clean representation of what you've been you up to.
That's why Beck annoys the hell out of me, because their generation just takes heaps of photos. So she'll take like 100 photos of the same thing and never
clean all her memories are like receipts.
Yeah.
The wall where you parked your car.
Even when she's just trying to get the food or like for Instagram or something, she just take, there'll be like 1,000 shots of an avocado, which I just gives me the irrits. Mm-hmm. But then when I asked her, could she download the Sonos app so she could change the music at home rather than ask me, she said, I don't have room.
Your phone is right, though. He is smart, Beck. Well done. Okay, David, have you got something to upset Andy or hoy?
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Ahoy.
So my upset, Andy, I have 5 big windows at the front of my house, each with Venetian blinds, with the loop where you yank on the loop and the blinds either turn inwards or outwards.
Yes.
Yep.
I just walk along at nighttime, grabbing the whichever bit of the loop I see, yank on it and hope they turn the same way. They never do. So I just leave them either turning inwards or outwards.
No.
So you've got up, up, down, up, down, or down, down, up, down, up. Yep. Yeah. And you've never had them all going the one way.
No, I figure it's like playing pokies. Eventually, I'll get them all the right way, and I'll win some money.
Have you got close before?
Someone
have you got,
will knock have on your door.
We've been waiting across the street for 2 years. Here's a hamper. Have you got down, 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 down before and come down to, you know, had the final shot and fluffed it? Or you, no.
No, it's usually sort of one after the other. It's usually sort of 3-2 in to out.
David,
no pattern.
If you'd invited me round for a drink, and we would finish the second beer and you went, hey, do you want another one? And you left the room. I'd correct that while you were outside of the room, I think.
And you would return and go, did you fix the blind? It would be an eerie calm in the room.
Thank you, David. Right. Marlene, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys. So I like to read, but instead of reading books from start to finish, sometimes I open it up to a random page and read that chapter. And then once I've read all the chapters, I try and figure out what the story is.
I hate that.
You'll get it.
Marlene,
no,
I hate that.
Who has time for books? No one's got time for book mugs. You never, you lose them.
I hate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Hey, obviously the deep, cliched voiceover guy for all films, action films, sci-fi films, thriller films, drama films, comedies, they'd only go for a different voiceover.
That's true. Usually it's telling you that it's... I know these days, although, you know, you can get a faux deep voice, like a pretend deep voice, but usually, you get a bit of a wackier voice.
I've just said films, but series have them now as well.
Yep.
Actually, remember when film in the hierarchy of entertainment, films were so high up and actors would never do TV?
Yeah, that was until really, like, it wasn't until kind of like the 2000s. Mad Men and like Sopranos and stuff like that sort of changed it.
I remember the world celebrating
TV.
George Clooney when he got out of VR and he's actually doing a film. It's like, oh, gosh.
Yeah, like he got out of juvie and got a job.
Well done, George.
I think the era of prestige TV just turned it on its head, brought everyone in.
I think, would you say now that a good series outranks any film, or is it?
Certainly has more eyeballs, yeah. For sure.
Sometimes, even if you get recommended what you think is a show, Jez was just telling me about this one called The Adam Project. I looked it up and it's a film. It's like, oh, that's a novelty. Ryan Reynolds in
that
a
happened
film.
To, yeah, that happened to us the other day. We're like, oh, there's this new thing on Apple TV. You're like, oh, great, okay, a series. Love a new series. No, Apple TV can also mean film.
Anyway, I digress, but I want to just kind of single out the VO guy, the guy that does, you know, In a World, those
used to be,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be the one guy. I mean, at Channel 9, it is the one guy.
It is the one guy.
Steve Britton.
Tell me.
Absolute master at his craft.
I want to single in on destinations. You always get In a World. Yep. You get In a Land.
Yep.
In a Town. You get?
Yeah, sometimes you get In a Town. What's a famous In a Town film?
The Village
by M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, you don't get In a Suburb.
But you could. I feel like a Fat Pizza promo would have started
for
with that.
So I think you can't do In a Suburb.
Yep. You get time periods.
In a
always.
Time.
You always get This Summer.
Oh,
you always get This Summer.
Sorry, but that's actually not talking about the film. It's talking about
sometimes
when it's coming
out. Sometimes it is, though. It makes you just feel like there's going to be an adventure this summer.
I've heard In a House, which normally... Yeah. Normally then says where the house is, like, but you never get...
You don't get suburb.
In an apartment.
No, I don't think you get... It's probably just less exciting. Probably just less exciting than a world, isn't it? Like, yeah. You get in... I'm sure Marvel's doing In a Universe, because now there's like
In a
lots
Universe
of
you get... You don't get...
In a World.
I think house is the only habitat you get. I don't think there's... Can you think of another... I don't think you can get In a Mansion.
No, I'm just trying to think if there's any famous cave movies.
In a cave.
Not Nicholas. You get With a Cave. That's Nicholas Cave, but not In a Cave.
No, Nicholas Cage.
Damn, you get In a Cage. You can get With a Cage.
Yes. Nick Cage, I mean, a singer.
Sorry, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Has Nicholas Cage done a movie in a cave? I'm sure he's done a prisoner film.
Yeah, well,
anyone,
he
no
was.
I wonder if the promo was Cage
Air.
In a Cage.
Con Air. But yeah. He's
Nicholas Cage in a flying cage. In a cage of his own doing.
Yeah, but he was more responsible for keeping people in the cage. I don't think
he... No, he was one of the cons, wasn't he?
He was
a con.
He
wasn't a cop. He was a con done good. Yep.
He actually was a con who then helped law enforcement by the end of the film.
Con with a heart of gold.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. And I think in the Hollywood move, that he was allowed off at the end for good behavior, for helping him, helping him round up the prisoners. I think he was, you know, it was a good guy framed.
Mm-hmm. No, he was. I actually loved this film, Con Air. It was one of the only DVDs we had. He was in a bar fight at the start of the film.
That's right. And accidentally killed a guy.
Yeah. And it was
because he has been trained to kill.
Yes, he was
wasn't he an ex-Green Beret?
And if he was provoked. What?
There is no provocation.
Or something. What was...
No, very much as the viewer, we're meant to feel sympathetic for...
Wasn't he sticking up for a lady?
He could have been,
I think you... I remember
even someone
vaguely.
In his family. I don't know why they would have been teasing his family.
To kill someone.
No, I know. Well, yes. I mean, we've seen Will Smith. That's not the answer. It doesn't matter if you're sticking up for a lady. I'm just saying in the Hollywood world, he was like in a bar thing. I remember the opening scene.
In a bar.
In a bar park.
In a bar car park.
He was like, I don't want to do this to you, man, because he's like ex-special forces. He was trying to stop him. Like, please, don't activate what I'm trying to do. Accidentally.
Yeah.
You've got
situational crime.
I'm so good at fighting that I will kill you.
If my muscle memory will kill you, even though my conscious brain is screaming at my body to stop. That's how highly trained I am. And then he was in a cage in the air. Ando, want to run a couple of special skills contenders past you.
Okay, great. These are they interstate, are they, or are they? Is it more just that they're the
same category?
Same category of skill.
Same category.
Yep.
Give me, you know, Rumble in the Jungle was a huge head to head
boxing match, wasn't it? Oh yeah,
wasn't it? God, yeah. I mean, didn't watch it, but obviously, you know, the marketing around it, very good. Give me some of the other, and that was in the, you know, the genre of boxing.
Yep,
punching each other in the face.
Yeah.
What are some of the other big rivalries that you have floating around? Some of the other big showdowns?
Individuals or teams?
Can be anything, really.
Yeah, well, Australia and England, the Ashes for the cricket.
Yes, very big, huge. And that's in the genre of cricket.
Yeah. Collingwood
Carlton. Bowling and batting and catching the ball. Collingwood Carlton in the AFL. Yep. That's in the genre of football, of course. Kicking, marking, more goals than the opposition. That's the sport you're playing there.
Red Sox Yankees, I think, is one of the old-time rivals.
Big time.
That's a category of baseball.
Baseball. Pitching, hitting, catching, running, touching bases more than the others.
Mm.
USA, Russia, ice hockey, always a classic showdown. Yep. So that's not who I've got for the show. I'm just saying that's another one.
Yep.
Just the look on your face, I think you're like, oh, wow, what a special skill. What a special skill.
So what's the field for this one?
Sensitive mouths.
Hang on, what does even that mean?
Yes, I know. In the age-old battle of sensitive mouths.
Oh, as in like high.
Their mouths are sensitive.
But high, like for a good thing. Like it's not like they need everything at the perfect temperature.
Yeah, no. They're not. Yeah, they're overly sensitive mouths, but not in the sense that they would get offended and leave the party.
That's what I was worried about. Like, So,
God, what? Geez, you know, just said so, something in your lips.
Amazing taste.
No, some is taste based, but some isn't, and that's why I've had to broaden the category to sensitive mouths. This is the showdown that we might have. This is a showdown we've got today because I think they're in the same category of we can't just keep having people on the show that have sensitive mouths.
Yeah, but I also think we should change the word sensitive because, like, you know, Beck, my partner, that gets hives, right, and she has to have injections because she's got sensitive skin, and people are like, it's...
I think you should change that.
So it's a...
Because overly sensitive.
Yeah, it's referred to as a deficiency sometimes. At the moment, I think we're about to celebrate mouths, are we?
Yeah, well, we're certainly celebrating sensitive mouths because we have two people that can do amazing things with their sensitive mouths. But would we have both on the show?
No.
I don't know. It could just be too much sensitive mouth content.
Yeah, okay, great.
For your average listener. And, of course, we want the listening experience of this podcast to be varied. We want to be chopping and changing it each week, making sure people stay excited. You don't want people going, just in the Hamish and Andy still? Yeah. Became all about sensitive mouths.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want that.
Nah.
So
you've got them standing by then, I assume.
Yep. You asked if it's taste related. Let's hear from our taste-based sensitive mouth expert first, Lewis. How are you, mate?
Ahoy.
Ahoy to you,
ahoy,
Lewis.
Ahoy, Lewis.
How sensitive is your mouth?
About an 8.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Out of 10.
Yeah, but, okay. Lewis, please tell Andy what your sensitive mouth can do.
So I am able to detect how old milk is by just tasting it.
How old milk is by tasting it?
The length it has till it expires, or is it always the same amount of time? Is it like it always is 2 weeks after it was from the teat? So if it's teat to tongue in 4 days, you can go, oh, this expires in 10.
I can do the date it's going to say on the bottle of milk, so when it expires.
Wow. Okay. And I would say then you would need that milk kept in refrigerated conditions for its whole journey.
Sure.
Yes, that is correct.
I love it, Ham.
We won't go, here's a bucket of milk we kept on the roof for 2 days. There's some rainwater in it and it's curdled.
All type of milk or just full strength?
I like full cream.
Yep.
Full milk.
So do I.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're doing cow's milk here, the real deal.
Full cream milk. And
pasteurized, of course.
Preferably.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
Yeah. No, I think it's the law.
So the test would be then, just so I'm really clear.
Yep.
He has a swig of milk and tells us when the expiry date is.
Yeah.
Within how many days either side?
Plus or minus one.
Lovely.
Sensitive mouth.
Whereabouts do you live, Lewis?
I'm in Melbourne, yes.
So it's not going to cost us anything to see this either.
No.
He's in the city, so very close.
Very close. Great.
But even, got 10 minutes? No, I mean, stay on the line. Okay, great application, Andy.
Great application.
Yet, what are the chances? Another sensitive mouth superhuman walks amongst us. Kendall. Ahoy, Kendall.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy to you, Kendall. What can you do with your sensitive mouth?
So I can eat a noodle, spaghetti noodle, and I can tell you the exact length of that noodle with just my mouth.
Oh, wow. Okay, so a cooked noodle.
So not just the sensitivity, but I think the dexterity of my mouth will also impress because it's, yeah, it's a bit of a the process of eating it.
Didn't say sensitive tongue. I assume it's roof, side, cheeks. Yes. You're using everything at your disposal in there.
Yes, yes, bit of everything. I won't give away my exact technique.
So, to,
of course not.
So to be clear on this one then, Herb, we would have a pre-measured length noodle.
Many of them.
A varying length. Then cook.
I know, we'd have to, you'd cook it first, then measure it. Because it does change length.
Yep. Yes. Sorry, cooked, then measured. Yep.
Cut to order. We could say, here's an eight mil noodle.
Yep.
Kendall would be blindfolded. She doesn't need to see it.
Wow. And then
we put that noodle in her mouth. She tells us 8 millimeters.
8 millimeters is the smallest noodle I've ever seen.
Small.
That is small. That's from chicken noodle soup.
Less than a centimeter.
From cup of soup. Well, that's how I order at the Italian restaurant.
All chopped out of the scissors.
Nudalio alla 8 millimeter.
So, Kendall, within how many centimeters, millimeters can you predict it in?
I usually do within a centimeter. Most of the noodles, when cooked, are over 30 centimeters.
Exactly.
So with an 8 millimeter one, you'd be like, look, it's between 1.8 millimeters, or, I'm sorry, 18 millimeters, or minus two.
Okay, so is a centimeter each side good enough there, Ham? I think
if you give Kendall a 23 centimeter noodle and she says that's 22 centimeters, I think we're impressed by that.
Agreed. So 1 centimeter either side.
Yep. Plus or minus one noodle variance.
Whereabouts are you living, Kendall?
I live in Melbourne.
Oh, this is great. Well, we just simply have to get them both in. But wow. Google space.
My fear of the show being too sensitive, mouth heavy, is receding now that you hear how good they are.
Yeah.
Do we have a sensitive mouth show?
Just
get them in on the one show.
One show?
I
was going to suggest spacing them out, but...
Let's space it out. Let's space it out. I think you can't go from having your major fear be that we're just only about sensitive mouths to then having a festival of them.
A dedicated theme show. Kendall Lewis, we look forward to being in touch with both of you, but this is tremendous. And everybody... strap yourselves in for some hot, sensitive mouth content coming right up. Hey, time for some more customer service. a Gusto check.
The official auditors of Gusto. I feel like we're the, we keep the flame. We like to keep the flame. Make sure the world is operating at maximum gusto. Yep. And it ebbs and flows, but... I think we all agree we should all be operating at maximum gusto in our lives, and the only way we're going to learn to is by knowing that at any time you could get checked.
Yep. The West Coast Eagles had a good win recently in the Australian Rules Football, and their team Twitter handle said, has the team song ever been sung with as much gusto? And we got added in him. Someone just wrote back, Hamish and Andy will be the judge of that. Because we are the official people to judge gusto.
Even though we don't go for the Eagles ourselves, we have seen every version of their song, had a good look at it, and it was top three.
joining us now is Ryan. We asked people if they wanted a certain business checked on gusto come forward. He hit us up at hamishandandy.com. Ryan, ahoy to you.
Ahoy, boys.
Ryan, talk us through the situation.
So my old man started his business 25 years ago. I've now taken it over, and I used to answer the phone a lot.
What's the business, mate?
We build custom aluminium trailers and ute trays and all that sort of stuff.
Love it.
So I've taken it over. I used to answer the phone. Mm-hmm. It's getting too much for me to answer the phone and work, so I've hired my partner, and she now answers the phone.
Sorry to jump in, but how far away is the phone from where you're working? Is it like a long walk or too much?
Oh, a lot of people call up and you're forever stopping and answering the phone.
If it's a lifetime amount of trailers, Ham, which is the name of the company,
it is true.
There's a lot of people that will need them. So what's your partner's name?
Daisy.
Daisy, are you nervous that she's not answering the company phone with as much gusto as, say, you might if you were in charge of customer service.
I have been told by a couple of customers that I am a lot friendlier on the phone. I have brought this up with her, and I'm just wanting to make sure that she is staying up to her standards of plenty of gusto on the phone.
I mean, amazing. You're doing the right thing by, you know, all you're doing here is just seeking an impartial, scientific way of measuring the gusto. I mean, I know this would be a slightly flawed test, but could you give us an example of how you might answer the phone?
All right. So normally when I answer, our other company is Rod's Engineering, so I'll go, Rod's Engineering, Ryan speaking, how can I help? Then they'll say whatever they want and what they're after, and I'll come up with a list of ways that we can make that happen for them.
Certainly when you said, how can I help, and it then went up on the help, that did indicate to us that there's some gusto. So we'll judge her on her greeting or welcome. What kind of thing will I ask of the trailer company there, mate?
Look, I would probably ask her for a trailer, probably a 3.5-ton tipping trailer. We've just done one, so she should be maybe not too bad on it.
Okay, a 3.5-ton tipping trailer. Do you do those? We'll see a response. Mm.
And then I always like to go, I always like to give something that's an open question. Yeah. So rather than a yes, no, a bit of a what sort of features does it have, or mm-hmm. why should we choose you for our 3.5-ton tipping trailer? Is that fair?
Yes, that would be fair.
Why should we choose you is always a good one, because you really feel
because you have something that weighs 3.5 tons you need to tip out.
All right, Ryan, we're going to put you on hold. You'll be able to hear though, and we'll put a call in Lifetime Trailers, and hopefully Daisy picks up.
Rod's Engineering, Daisy speaking.
Oh, hi there. It's Johnson speaking. How are you today?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm just looking at getting a trailer to last me a lifetime. Do you do a 3.5-ton, say, tipping trailer?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes, we do, yep.
What are the features on that one?
It depends on what you're looking for. We build custom trailers, so you will tell us what you want, like, is this something to fit your needs specifically?
Mm-hmm.
We can build it, but are you just looking for what we've already built, or
No, just need something that can tip and 3.5 tons worth of stuff.
Yeah, so rate it up to 3.5 tons,
mm-hmm.
or do you need to be able to carry 3.5 tons?
Cool. Definitely want to carry 3.5 tons.
So you may need 4.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably going to need more than that if you need to carry 3.5 tons.
Okay. Why should I choose you guys for my custom 3.5-ton tipping tray over the others?
I don't know. Are you planning on using us, or?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I'd call, I'm obviously ringing around, and I was going to use you. You guys were an option, of course.
Yep. Okay. I'll just go and grab Ryan. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh no.
Oh, that's all right. I'll call back.
Okay then.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, man.
Okay, really good. Sorry, I thought you hung up and I panicked that she was going to get Ryan. We had a loop of the snake begins eating its tail. He's on the other line. Okay,
Ryan,
good gusto amongst a lot of hurdles and ducking and weaving by both parties.
Yes, Ryan, I mean, I got caught in my own loop there. Ryan, let's rank the welcomes. Oh, this is unusual. Should we get Ryan to put in her 10 as well?
I'd love to know what you thought, Ryan, hearing it.
I thought that the welcome was fine. The greeting was...
Yeah, the welcome was great.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I actually had the welcome down. What
the
did you...
The information was not great.
Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a sec,
Rob. Just while we put a dollar, and this is where you can actually score pretty high on gusto. It's easy money to have a good greeting because it's low amount of words, high amount of gusto. Jack, I actually had it down as a 4 to 5 when hi, welcome, Ryan's Engineering, and then it increased when you said hi, how are you? That, I don't know if fans remember, that hello, she went into like, oh, hi, good, really good, thanks. Like she really lifted the gusto, maybe even to an 8. By the end of the interaction.
That's true. The initial answer wasn't great, was it?
Well, it's amazing. I had 4, crossed it out, 7.
Yeah, same thing. Definitely improved. She started warily, just warily.
Yes.
Wasn't sure what was going on, but then found her rhythm really, really quickly and lifted.
Seven there. Then with regards to the information on the 3.5-ton tripper, it's fine-ish. Like she did know that I had to go up to a 4-ton.
Yeah.
Yep.
She would have been looking for a length that you had wanted mainly.
Yep. I would say that was mid, well, fives perhaps. But then the why should we choose you?
Not good. Yes.
To be fair, Ryan, let's give you the first chance to score that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It was not very high. I think that was about a 2. Not even then.
That's what I had.
Generous husband too, I suppose, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to be in trouble, so I might as well go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I put it down as almost a 0. It's as flat
What would you have done in that situation, Ryan, where you've got someone going, why should we choose you for our custom trailer?
I would have gone, you should choose us because, I mean, we'll customise it to your needs and what you want, and you can have as much input as you want, whereas these big chains, they don't want that. They just want to give you it out of the box, and that's it.
Yep. Yeah. Throw the big chains under the bus. That's how you get them.
And then the damage was done. The goodbye was kind of fine, but I think she was already a few goals down by then.
I sense more relief in her voice, actually. This guy that's very keen on shopping around but not keen on knowing what he wants. Just keen to be involved in the trailer game but not knowing the specifics is leaving her alone.
It's a low score, isn't it? Where does it leave you, Ryan?
Well, look, I would like to sort of do a couple of months with her and see if we can get that up to a higher scoring value. I mean, she's only been here for a couple of months.
Mm.
It was just you guys had this opportunity, and I thought, what a great way to get in on that and get a score happening.
Our pleasure. I can't help but think there'll be some interesting feedback from her to you tonight on your decision to do this in a public forum. But I'm not sure you will sleep on that couch with gusto, and everybody knows where to get their trailers. Thank you, mate.
That's right. Cheers, mate. Hey, before we nick off today, our other podcast, The Remembering Project, it's out now. Another 2 episodes dropped today.
Double app drop.
It's a listen first, though, at the Listener app. They'll all be available late July. But if you want to hear them right now, you can go download the Listener app for free and grab it.
Often it's the not remembering that's the funnest part.
Mm-hmm.
Because we try to remember what we did on a given day in history.
Yep.
We do take it in turns. We like taking things in turns. We like emails going to the other side of the fence. Keeps it fresh. But often it's the struggle, isn't it? It's the struggle to remember.
And we get a little bit of a jogged memory by having a run sheet in front of us. It's not like someone just goes,
May 3rd. Yep, no, I think I remember, dawn till dusk.
But here's a snippet which I loved when, you know, obviously the election is coming up. We're only weeks away.
Yep.
Last time, you know, or a couple of elections ago.
We've been around for a few elections.
I think it was 2013 where it was the day before an election, and we're having a little reminisce about that.
2013, we had a man come on the show that I can't remember what he said or what he did, but we have a very clear off-air memory where I'm going to say 2 words and then you're going to say the name of the man that was on the show. Okay. I promise you. The word, the guy we had on the show, he, after the show, the key word or the thing he noticed for you is bare feet.
Oh, Kevin Rudd.
Kevin Rudd. Because he came on election eve or 2013, so he was going for re-election. It was like he was the prime minister at the time, and maybe it was a few days to the election. Ooh. Sometimes you would often wear thongs. You know, we'd always wear thongs in the studio, and you like to barefoot. You like to be grounded. Yeah. You're a bit of an earth mummer. You like to be grounded to the carpet when you did the show, so you could feel the essence of the building to really get into radio. And you just happened to have bare feet on.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
No,
and you couldn't see your feet anyway.
No.
K-Rudd is just in like media mode, you know, a bit like SkyMo. It's like, you know, just see something, do something, show that you're a man of the people.
Yep. Try and connect with anyone.
Anything.
Anyhow.
At all. Anyway, something. It all's got to count for election day. And he was so tired though, because he would have been dragged to like 50 of these interviews that day. And so he's sort of walking out the door. He's got a suit on and RM Williams, which was like the uniform of the PM.
And then he sees Andy in bare feet. And he didn't really say anything. No. He goes, oh.
Yeah.
Points to them. Oh. And he's like tired brain is like out of the ordinary. Do something with it. And then he takes off his boots. Yes. He takes off his RM Million boots. So he's in socks.
He's in socks.
And points to his photographer and goes like, no talking. No, I'm going to use this for this. No, nothing. Just something.
Yeah.
It's I'm so, doing something. Look at me. I'm doing something. Doing something. And so he's standing there with socks on and he's standing there like, I wish we could find that photo. And he's standing there bewildered with bare feet going, what are we doing? Is this a, like, is it a movement? Are we taking our shoes off for democracy? Like, then, what are we doing?
And then the very next day he loses the election.
Should have taken your socks off. Should have gone the whole way.
Anyway, plenty of remembering. That one still makes me giggle.
Hamish and Andy, absolute kingmakers.
you come on our show.
You take the photo, we'll do the rest.
Anyway, the Remembering Project and the Listener app at the moment.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.